Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, 2000. In the fireside room this morning is Ingeborg Logland. Today's session number is 2000/2, and the title is Who Are You Baptized into Christ? Let's listen in.
We will start with our liturgy this morning as we did yesterday morning. My name is Ingeborg Logland. I am glad to be with you and to lead this Bible study. I'm a pastor in a small congregation on the prairie in Idaho. And like I said to someone yesterday, this Bible study gives me opportunity to push matters farther than I would in my congregation. So, I know, you get, all you need to do is to go to another Bible study. What might happen to me is that I have to look for another call, you know? let's all take advantage of this time to explore together and to work on finding answers and possible answers. and grow in our faith. And if it gets too scary or challenging, we can always go back to our second church. Let's again start with our liturgy. God, it is in you we live, move, and exist. Teach us to believe and understand that as little as we can fly from ourselves, we can fly from you. Amen.
Amen.
For in Christ Jesus,
we are all children of God through faith.
As many of you were baptized into Christ,
have clothed yourselves with Christ.
There is no longer Jew nor Greek.
There is no longer slave nor free.
There is no longer male nor female.
For all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
And if you belong to Christ,
then you are Abraham's offspring,
heirs according to promise. Our time of prayer is where each of us, whoever feel like it, can say a little prayer or prayer of thanksgiving, and we'll sing the Kyrie eleison in between. So an opportunity to pray together as we enter this Bible study. Lord Jesus, we give you again thanks for this beautiful day. We give you thanks for the opportunity to explore the scriptures. We ask for an open mind and a humble mind. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, appreciated yesterday and your input and our time to explore and add into what I have prepared. And some of you wanted more time to questions and conversation, and that is very much welcomed. Well, my time schedule today will be up in the air anyway, because I started with 8 o'clock and now it's 8:15, so I'm probably not going to be able to keep that. So please feel free to stop, ask your comments. I mean, all your comments was very helpful yesterday. So I want my hope and my dream and my prayers for this time with you have been that all of us will feel comfortable enough to share, to bring in views. And yes, I am an ordained pastor, but I am not the truth on feet. So sometimes I forget that, the pastor said it. The pastor had an opinion and she has studied these things, but I wouldn't share it with you if I was not interested in where you are and what you have to offer. And another thing, I am young, and there's no way I can have the experience that several of you have. So I need you. And I will be the facilitator for this Bible study, and hopefully Christ can meet us in this time and this session. When I teach the children, I know that repetition is a very helpful matter. So I don't know how it is with you, but I figured would repeat a little bit from yesterday. So we wanted more time to talk and share and ask to comments and questions. And repeating our theme from yesterday, for in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. We explored what faith could mean, that Hagar had faith in the eyes of the Lord. We were reminded that, yes, looking at the outsiders, we might end up judging the insiders, which was not what we wanted in the first place. So to stay away from the judging part, we also talked about community, trying to stay away from dogmatics. The statement that Paul comes with, in Christ Jesus, we're all children of God through faith. His agenda to the Galatians was to build community, to build that church. And that, in my opinion, he took on an argument that was opposing to what he stated when he said, there is no longer slave or free. Anything else, any other thoughts that you have? I'm going to give you this opportunity in the beginning every morning. If there's something you dwell on, something you've been talking about, we'll take this few minutes in the beginning. So if there was something from the previous day, you can bring it at this time to the group. I didn't tell you yesterday, but now you know for tomorrow. And of course, during the day. Any questions or anything about yesterday then, or are you ready to move right on? Gosh, you seem like my congregation.
No.
Well,
I was wondering if Paul were writing this today, would he include other categories than male and female, slave and free? Would he say gay and straight and not Paul,
no.
Well, but if Paul was today,
if Paul was around today, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That has been so fascinating. I've been thinking of that. Now, who do we have Pauls today? Do we have characters like Paul today? Would Paul have said something like that? How would he have argued? And that is such a good question, because what you're doing is to take the agenda, Paul's agenda. And to be able to see Paul's agenda is a real gift. To see the agenda, to take it to our context and setting today and say, now what would Paul have said today? That's a very helpful question in a Bible study.
How about liberal and conservative?
Yeah. You know, I... Of course, I totally agree with you, because I used this in my sermon. I said, there is no longer slave or free. There is no longer gay or straight. There is no longer young or old. There is no longer... And in the reading. And, well, it doesn't matter who they reacted, because, of course, they would still just... But the way you're thinking, I think is, I mean, what do you think? Asking a question like that, isn't that exactly what Bible study is? I really like that, your angling there. I really do. And I believe you're right. But that is less important. I really need to remind myself and you all about that. What's right and wrong is, in my opinion, less important to come to more knowledge, to come to a closer relationship with Christ, is what I think is important. Now let us, please.
How about just we are children of
Eric.
God, period?
What?
How about just we are children of God, period? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say it through faith, but not what he says that.
What he says? It is, again, what we talked about yesterday. It's so tempting to put conditions on this, we are children of God. When I was 17, or no, I was 15, I think, I went to this counselor. I had these horrible problems with my faith, thinking I wasn't good enough and that Jesus probably didn't like me and what have you. And the counselor said, say thank God that I get to be your precious child. Thank you, Jesus, I get to be your precious child. Something like this. And that basic statement, we are precious children of God, goes right into identity. Identity being this, who are you? When it comes really down to it, I am God's child. And no one can argue with that. In Christ Jesus, through faith, I would be with you, say, children of God. And it leads into our headline for today. As many of you were baptized into Christ. Did you notice that? Children of God? We are all children of God. And then the next line, as many of you. Does that build your argument about children of God, period, to some extent?
Well, you went back and added the faith again. I'm just saying my own personal belief is that we're children of God, period.
Faith or not doesn't matter.
Nothing to do with that.
Right. And anyone?
I always like to think when you think about children as being a person or one who is always learning more, always growing in their faith and in everything, and always needing to be guided too. I mean, that's all part of a child rather than an adult. And if you think of yourself as a child, you're always learning, you're always growing, and being guided.
And yeah, let's pick up on this child part. Children of God, child of God. And then go to the child. That's my daughter with no hair. A child, the word child, children, most of the time are in relationship, is a term put in relationship with a parent, with a sibling. How do you feel about that part? What I'm getting onto is that to say child, we're also saying that she is the daughter of, or he is the son of, or they belong, so-and-so belong in that, in this family.
In a relationship.
The interrelationship has to do with, being a child. In a relationship, being growing. Susan?
Yes. Well, I just think in terms of the child part that, when we talk about qualifying it with faith or your torment that you described as a 15-year-old about, am I good enough? I think that kids go through that, or when they do something wrong, it's like, well, mom and dad still love me, and they think that, you know, they feel shame or they feel bad, or it fills their whole world, whereas as a parent, we're looking at and knowing that anything that they could do wouldn't stop us from loving them. Even if they died, we're still their parents, and that would take up an immense amount of us. You know, I mean, it's just, they are ours kind of thing. And when I go through that stuff with God, too, it's like, it's me and what did I do wrong? And am I going to cut off my relationship with God? But I don't often keep that active part of knowing how hard God is working for me.
To keep you. What word can we put on that? That's a wonderful statement on what it is to be a child. Unconditional, something like that, and that would that work? Unconditional love. growing into relationship, unconditional love. Any others? That what it is to be a child. I mean, we can go on spontaneous. Well, you know what I want to put on there and see what you think of this? T-R-E-C. You can read my handwriting. Egocentric. I mean, a child is extremely self-centered. I mean, the younger the better. My needs now, how in the world am I supposed to be able to look at to what my brother needs, or if mom maybe wanted to even sleep? I mean, but yet, loved and loved and loved and loved. So I think it is right to, I mean, it's nothing that they can help. And maybe we need to put something on that, on our little thing here. Give me a word on something they can't help.
Well, I just want to say something. Maturity isn't the word, but I mean, when you contrast
immature
differences in a parent and a child,
yeah,
it would be like the differences in us and God. There's just a whole different, you know,
mm-hmm.
Perspective.
Okay.
Well, a really young child is basically helpless.
Dependent. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Two.
Helpless. What else?
Young child doesn't have adult logic, which
it's probably real helpful.
Things are pretty complicated sometimes.
Lack no logic, or what do you want to say?
Well.
Lack of logic,
I guess. Things are very direct, they don't talk to
themselves. Or immature logic.
Immature, well, we had immature, didn't we? No. How about immature logic? That sounds better.
That's probably
it's about us after all. Two M's?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's better.
But a child can be very trusting.
Beautiful, oh yes.
Even as I get like into kindergarten, my teachers said, and they just accept those things.
My teachers said, oh, don't you love that stage?
And they're always questioning.
Very good.
No, this is what I think a Bible study is about. Questioning children of God, children with immature logic, children growing, children questioning, children being egocentric, children being helpless. perspective. What would you do with that one? Do you remember?
Talking about being the difference between a child and an adult, and an adult and God, is the different way that
different perspective
views to a new
child. Would that be better? Mm-hmm. Children having a different perspective than parent?
Looking up.
Yeah, looking up to parent. Hopefully. Children having unconditional love, child being trusting, child being, I want to put almost depending on an interrelationship, dependent on, dependent on interrelationship. Children of God, faith or not, it leads, or do you want to go more on this? It works really well to move into our reading from John chapter 3 about Nicodemus and what Jesus told Nicodemus. It's the John chapter 3. Anyone need more Bibles? Uli, would you mind to read for us, please?
when should I stop?
Oh, when should you stop? What is it, 21, I was thinking?
21? Okay.
No, 12, please.
12, okay. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive your testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?"
Thank you very much. How can you believe if I tell heavenly things? Well, Nicodemus is pretty much told the same as we have been talking about here. Being a child, being born again, talking about this transforming experience that it is to be born. For most of us, to be born is the most dangerous thing we do in our life. It's a very transforming matter. And then this happens. So when we today talk about, as many of you were, I would like to leave this to, as many of you were baptized into Christ, I want us to use this story about Nicodemus and then go on from there and make the connections What is it to be baptized into Christ? Using the story about Nicodemus as a tool. I better write it down, I think. What is it to be baptized into Christ using the story about Nicodemus as a tool? Or whatever else you want to use to kind of direct you or set you off.
My translation stated it just a little bit differently, and I think it makes a little difference to me. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.
And what verse is this?
Three.
Three.
Could you read that one for us?
No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.
That's what I have. What did you read, Uli?
Unless one is born
anew. You cannot enter, I think.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Okay, that was the same.
I thought.
There is something about No.
I thought there was something about
entering.
Yeah, in verse 5.
Yeah.
In verse 5?
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Born of Spirit and water cannot enter. In verse 5. And in verse 3? Cannot see the kingdom without being born from above.
The thing I was thinking about was that it doesn't say that we aren't children of God before, but we just don't know it.
Oh, you know, you want to hear my little statement about baptism preached in at least some of the Lutheran churches that I was working in Norway. I thought baptism in Lutheran churches was preached as if it was free life insurance.
Like what?
Free life insurance.
Oh.
If you're baptized, you're okay, we're done with you, let's get the next one. It was free life insurance. I don't know if, I mean, it's just a statement to kind of set off what I don't think that baptism was really about. Now that we are all children of God, or that we are all children of God, period. Yes, I do think that's the gospel. Now, what it is to be baptized into Christ is, I think, very much different than free life insurance. I mean, I think we have that baptism or not, since it says we are all children of God, and then as many of you were baptized. I think something, those two statements there gives us a clue. I'm not quite there, so I'm going to need for all of us to get there. All children of God, many of you were baptized. How do you feel about baptism then? I mean, why do we baptize? Why are you baptized?
Receive the grace of God.
And you didn't have that before?
No.
It's
a ritual.
Receive the grace?
Well, it's a sacrament. It's a means of grace.
Great. That's a beautiful one. A means of... What other means of grace do we have?
Just supper. Life itself, maybe.
Yeah, see? If you just think and not are worried about the right answers. Life,
the word
self, the word, baptism.
When some adults were baptized in my church recently, the priest talked about the sacrament of baptism as a sign of God's grace, and said that the baptism wasn't so much a sign that we who are baptized are chosen, but there's a sign to the world that God chooses everyone.
Sign of baptism or sign of grace?
Yeah. I mean, that God chooses are signs to the world of that all of us are children of God.
See, this goes... This is a very much a clue to we are all children, as many of you were baptized. So we don't want that under means of grace, but we want that to an answer to why we are baptized. Receive grace, means of grace, and sign to the world that God chooses us all. Would that be right? All baptized into Christ, and that is a sign to
that. Well, in infant baptism, it's a sign that God is there before you know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. How about gift? Gift from God? Period, is that sound good? Or what would you like to, how would you like to word it?
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's just that I was saying that God was there before the child knew it.
Right, let's get something about that. Baptized into Christ. testimony that God was there before?
I suppose.
Solid basis on which to teach a child you are God's child.
A basis?
A basis for teaching children God loves you, you are God's child.
Basis for teaching and growing maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Belonging, because God
belonging,
puts,
yeah.
Very
God
good.
Puts his name on you in baptism.
Oh, I love it. This is belonging.
I think we have to remember that the action in baptism is not the action of the pastor or the parents or anybody else, but it's God working.
This is really exciting. I love how you use your faith and use what you know about these things and share it. We, as I say to the children, do you want to talk about this and then let the rest of the class go, or should we move on? I wonder.
I have a comment about the Nicodemus story, and I thank you for choosing that for today, because I have, of course, that's been. Many times in my life, I've encountered the Nicodemus story from the born-again Christians that I know and their interpretation of what that means. But in the context of what we're talking about today, Nicodemus came in the middle of the night, of course, because he didn't want anybody to see that he was a leader of the Jewish church, and of course he didn't want anybody to see him talking with Christ. And much like a parent, I think Christ is telling him, he's goading him, he's challenging him, he's saying he has an assignment, but he isn't saying, you know, he isn't casting him away. I think Nicodemus is going to go and really struggle about this, and I think that's part of what we do as a parent. You know, we challenge our kids, we say what they need to do in their lives yet, or ask them what they think they need to do, make that more clear to them, what their path is, or whatever. And that overlay of Christ as a parent puts a whole new deal on this story to me. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's I certainly like that story because I know that I'm an ordained leader in the church, but lots of the times I come to Jesus in the middle of the night asking things that I don't grasp or I don't understand, and I feel I need to have a better knowledge in that Hebrew sense, knowledge with heart and hands and mind. And Jesus say, and you are a teacher, you don't know Jesus?
I see you have the book of worship, and and in there, baptism is followed by confirmation, affirmation of baptism. And I think that the teaching has to go along with it. The problem with confirmation is that we package it up too neatly. Many times I think, you know, you've been through confirmation, so you're finished.
That makes it very tempting to me to talk about the catechumenate. Does any of the churches that you belong to have used the catechumenate, the welcome to Christ, a new way of welcoming people into Christ? Not baptizing as the first thing we do, but to have welcoming rituals, to welcome people and let them grow with the Nicodemus story or whatever story. There is this, you assign an apprentice to journeyman. So I'm guessing that you guys would be journeymen, having an apprentice, a new person in faith with you. The first months going from Advent and on, the apprentice is the one that set the standard. The apprentice is the one that asks the questions. The next period of time is when this teacher or the journeyman teaches whatever. I didn't bring those books with me, but we should probably take time away from our Bible study and we can talk about the catechumenate for those who are interested in knowing about it. It's a beautiful way to welcome adults, young people too for that reason, to the church and also teach them and using our liturgies. What I wanted to, the reason I brought our Lutheran Book of Worship is to read what we say in our baptismal ritual. So, we're all children of God, as many of you were baptized into Christ. What is it to be baptized into Christ? What our liturgy says, anyway, and what is our tradition, is to say that in holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death. So, listen for the verbs as you hear it this time. Just listen for the verbs. Gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity, but in the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with him and with his people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. We can actually put them down next to these and they would, coherent? They would correspond pretty good. So we are liberated from sin and death, and we are joined to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born, yes, but then we are reborn, as like Nicodemus was told. And we are inheritors. That's really not, in a way, I want to put it down for a verb. If we put them together, we are
I think you should list the nouns too.
Okay.
Because we have new titles, we have new status.
Well, good.
Inheritors and...
Okay, let me try that. That would be good. Liberated. Okay, from sin and death. And we're joined with death and resurrection. With death and resurrection. Born and reborn, children of God, isn't it? Yeah. And we are, that would be inheritors here. That goes great with our heirs according to promise, doesn't it? And then what else did we have? By the water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members. Yeah, that made a lot of sense to use the nouns too. Members of the church, we say to the body of Christ. As we live, getting confused here with need a couple of hands. We are made members and we live. Very good.
The word grow in there too?
With Christ and his people. Oh yes, and there is grow, the last one. Grow. Faith, love, and obedience isn't, they are nouns, they are just used as nouns right here, but I think we're good. Well, they are too, aren't they? And I would never have believed that I would write English like this 5 years ago. I would have said, sorry, I can't teach a class if I'm going to write something. Now, what do you think? What do you think now? What is it to be baptized into Christ? To be liberated, to be joined, to be reborn, just to be? That's amazing right there. To be, and then we're made members, to live and to grow. Pretty close to what you already said and what it already is, what we talked about, it is being a child. Something you want to add or move on to or... Oh, we have 15 minutes to go. Well, I have three more texts for us to study and...
When you get to the grow,
yeah,
then that becomes the task of the church and the responsibility to the baptized child.
Mm-hmm. As we grow in responsibility.
Well,
as we grow,
we have responsibility to help them to grow.
Yes. Yeah, you being the journeyman and then you have this apprentice going with you to help people grow. Well, okay, so how would you help people grow? If you had this...
To understand what you're meaning by the second birth, the spiritual birth,
mm-hmm,
and when you compare it to the physical birth and the catechismus, you can see the pregnancy lasts for 9 months,
mm-hmm,
and you're growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that birth is different. No two births are alike.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is precipitous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of excitement. Another one comes with lots of hard, slow labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that first cry comes, and that big breath. There's joy and excitement by those that are attending.
That's right. You would use this picture to teach this new person what it is to be baptized into Christ?
Yes. And some of them are always wanting to see a rebirth or a new birth, and they can't understand why they don't have a birth like the one who has a miraculous conversion and is changed overnight, in contrast to
the one that
long labor.
Take the time to labor, yeah. That is a good picture. That is a very good picture. And it also goes to show how each of us grow differently, and each of those that we welcome into Christ need a different way, need different people, need different tools. Finding and growing in faith and love and obedience. I mean, it's not one size fits all. And we're gonna talk about that tomorrow when we're gonna get to the, as many of you were have clothed yourselves in Christ. We're gonna talk about dress code and uniforms and those sorts of things. It's not one size fits all. But that's tomorrow. I'm a little bit at loss at what to do. We have only 10 minutes left. I have plenty of materials to go. I wanted to talk about family. I mean, you're a child and you're in and being in a family. Does that sound good? Should we take the last 5+ minutes to be more on what it is to be baptized into Christ and then do our liturgy? Just dwell with that and leave the family stuff and that for maybe another time? What would work better so we don't...
I think this is a good way to wrap into a family, from being baptized or baptized into God's family.
That's kind of where I want to go, but I have worked with it, so I'm ready to go there. I'm going to take you there and see what you think.
Like I mentioned or indicated in the beginning, a child is rarely a lonely person. Being a child is either with other children or with parents. Or any kind of family. And
you talk, I'll erase that.
Thank you very much.
Like it's hard work.
The creation stories tell us about that in Genesis chapter 2 anyway. It tells us about that God created Adam and then he created Eve in 12:18, it's God, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." And then this deep sleep came, and God took the rib, and the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, God made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then he said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, out of the man this one was taken." What I want to bring to our attention in this matter is, thank you very much, mm-hmm, is the preposition that is used. It's not very clear where it's used, but I'm remembering from my Hebrew that the preposition that is used for the man and the woman in the story is a preposition where, here they are. Hi.
Do I allow to teach the children? The preposition that is used is a preposition that indicates that they are created on the same level, and not only on the same level, but facing each other. Now, that is not what I had in mind growing up. I had this, well, the man was born and then he fell asleep and this little woman came and and you can go far on that end. What I wanted to bring to our attention here is the community building that happens when people are facing each other. It's not only in the commitment that happened between these two actors, Adam and Eve, but it is in the interaction that happens among us as a church. Now, this is why I like this worship area that we have right here, using a circle where Christ is the center. We are all on the same level and we're facing each other in a full circle. We answer to each other. And we look to God or to Christ on the same level, facing each other. Now, in a family setting, being God's family, being children of God, being baptized into Christ, we are all on the same level and we're facing each other. We answer to each other as we grow in faith and love and obedience. That is also, and it's a way to remember that we are all children, and the one we look to is our parent, is God. So to be baptized into Christ, to grow, has this aspect along as well. Yeah.
And we adults need to, yes, in a spiritual sense, remain as children.
Remain as children in the sense that we look to God as our parent, to look to God as the one, as the guide, to look to God, to the one that provides that unconditional love. Any other aspects on that? I mean, it is a challenging thought if you think of church leadership. I mean, how does the Pope deal with this part? I mean,
but your example of the journeyman and apprentice, mm-hmm. I think it is a challenge because mm-hmm. I forget, and everything around me leads me to forget too. It's like, well, I'm the expert, I'm the teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I forget that we're equal.
You're totally right, and that's where, again, it's probably harder to be a journeyman than it is to be apprenticed. Don't you think?
Greater responsibility.
Yeah, and but with that responsibility, how can we say that? With that responsibility, I mean, that responsibility calls for humbleness instead of pride. Would that be a way to put it?
Yeah. A lot more expectations from a journeyman than the apprentice.
There you go. And but would that be right to say? Would that be that God put expectations on the leaders?
Mm-hmm.
It would. I mean, the letters to Timothy, Paul's letters to Timothy, certainly put expectations on the leaders. Never, for the very same reason, for the leaders as for what if.
I think there's expectations for all of us, though. As a family member, we respond by having responsibilities, and we grow and mature. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, we all know when children do not grow, we know adults who have not grown and still act like children.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as members of the family, even our nuclear family, we need to respect one another so that we grow and contribute to the well-being of that entire family. So I think, I'm not sure I explained myself well, but whether we're leaders or we're followers, whatever we are, we still are to be obedient in our family and to nurture one another and to grow and do the best we can for our family so that everyone can everyone can grow in that family, parents and children and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm explaining it very well.
No,
mean that we're just children of God. What does it mean to be a child of God?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a child in our family? It cannot be our parents continually giving and we just be there, be, that's all we are.
Right.
We respond in a way, and I think that God expects us to respond. Mm-hmm. And that's what it means to grow in faith and to be mature and then to be a light to other people.
So,
if we give nothing back, I think we're called upon to do more than that. As we are gifted, we need to give back our gifts too.
Vicki.
Well, one of the words that's often associated with baptism that we haven't used today is the word adoption.
Yes, that's a very good one.
And it's a word that for me has been really important in understanding it, because I was adopted, did not grow up with the family I was born into physically. Another family said, "You are mine, you are as if you were born into my family, our family." And that concept for me helps me understand God's adoption of me into the greater family of all God's children. That sense of being orphaned, in a sense, and then receiving new life through a new family, but that in the greater concept being a part of God's adoptees.
Mm-hmm. And the community, I know that adopted children have outside the family that they live with. I mean, a sense of belonging. I'm also after that sense of belonging. Thank you very much, Vicki. It's all these pictures are important to remember and to keep with us as we think. Go ahead.
Well, I think it goes back, it's interesting you went back to the Genesis text. It's so foundational to say it is not good for us to be alone. Mm-hmm. That in our core we are built for community. And in ways we can, it's hard for us to think we get away from that and are blind to that. And part of the beauty of baptism is God's wondrous work to connect us. And see, that's part of what I realize is that, you know, my reaching out to you is not because I'm being a good person or I should do this. It's like, I need you in my life.
And she happened to be your sister, so
yeah,
there you have
so
it.
It's to create that. It's to say that it is, you know, we were built for community, and our sin keeps us from realizing that which is essential in us. And baptism is a great reminder of that in connecting of us. So that my connection is, I do it, but I, in a wondrous way, as I'm called to care for someone else, I care for that which is deep inside of me, which is I need you, every other person in my life. Mm. It's not good to be alone.
It's not good for others, and it's not good for me. Obviously, we can keep going. I very much enjoy working with you. Our time, however,
is past 9:15. So we will close with our liturgy and go on tomorrow morning. Instead of blessed as we go. So I'll do the L parts and I'll have you do the A parts. Privileged are the poor in spirit.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Privileged are those who mourn.
For they will be comforted.
Privileged are the humble.
For they will inherit the earth.
Privileged are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
For they will be filled.
Privileged are those who are the merciful.
For they will receive mercy.
Privileged are those who are the pure in heart.
For they will see God.
Privileged are the peacemakers.
For they will be called children of God.
Privileged are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us give each other a sign of reconciliation and peace.
Mark, the Lord's peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.